Well, thank you, everyone, for being here this morning, and for Hedy and Bobby and Susan for taking part in leading this time of morning prayer. I want to share with you...
John, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
My mistake. All
right. You have it on to record.
Very good. Very good. By the way, I did just record that, even though you didn't hear it. But yeah, that's Judge Mary. MJ says, excellent. Yeah, but I'm just saying thank you, everyone, for being here this morning, for taking part in this, and for Hedy, Bobby, and Susan for taking part in leading morning prayer with us together. It's just a great time, even though it's a short time and it's over the screen. It's a great time together still. I want to share with you a couple of thoughts concerning the gospel reading today that Rick read. And thank you, Rick, for your reading today, too. Rick just read that a few minutes ago from John 14. And as I was looking at this, one of the thoughts that came to my mind was one of the things I've been doing in the last couple of years. And I've shared this with a few of you. In fact, I was talking with Jay about it just yesterday. I have taken on a few things because there's a couple of areas in my life where I've been working on them for a long, long time, and I'm thinking I should have more to show for it than I do at this point. For example, I played guitar for a long, long time. I mean, since I was in junior high. That's getting to be a long time. And a couple of years ago, I was thinking, I should have more to show for this than I do for that amount of time. So I've got some guitar lessons that I can watch. I can stream them anytime I want, and that's very helpful. Also, I've been going to the gym for a number of years regularly. And I mean, I don't know if it's the age that I've hit or whatever it is, but I'm thinking I should have more to show for all these years going to the gym. So I pay attention to somebody else on YouTube that I really trust and find, and I make a little bit of progress. I'm still thinking I should have more to show, but that's coming along. And the reason that that came into my mind is that I'm thinking it's very easy sometimes for some of us to be thinking, I've been going to church for many years. Even if you miss some years in the interim, but you think, I'm going to church for many years, and there's things I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do them, and I should have a little more to show for it than I do. Like, I don't know how to hear God. I don't know how to pray for a sick person. I don't know, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever your thing is. I don't understand the Bible. Whatever it is, I should have more to show for it than we do. And the thing with the faith that is always true is, first of all, you can always have more to show for it than what you've got, because we're following an infinite God, and there will always be more from Jesus than we have right now. And we really want to get to the place where we're not spending 80 or more years in the church and still looking back and thinking, you know, that thing I didn't know, I still don't know it. I still don't understand what that is. I don't know how to follow Jesus in that area. And what Jesus says is something very different. From the gospel reading today, he says, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father." So I want to unpack that a little bit. That Jesus, I mean, what does Jesus mean when he says we can do what he did and we can do greater things than he did? So what I find helpful is where to start. You know, in the beginning of that gospel reading there today, as you can see in the bulletin, Jesus starts out by saying, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's a very interesting thing to say. I mean, you remember the past few weeks we've looked at the Easter readings and the interaction Jesus had, and he always started with a resurrection appearance by saying, "Peace be with you." Now, this is previous to the resurrection, and he's kind of shifting gears with them and saying, "All right, do not let your heart be troubled." And he's starting with peace, with wholeness, creating it within them so that they can move ahead. So I was very interested in why did he say that at that moment? So I just looked ahead, and that starts with John 14:1. So I look ahead in chapter 13, and here we have the Last Supper and the washing of the feet. And the two things that immediately happened just before Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled," was that Judas Iscariot up and leaves so that he can go betray Jesus. And Jesus knows this is what's going to happen. And everybody else is probably picking up on the tense atmosphere between the two of them, if there was, but sounded like there was. And the second thing that happened right after that is that Peter says to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go, and I will even lay down my life for you." And Jesus says to Peter, "Actually, you won't. And before morning hits, you're going to deny me three times." And then the very next thing Jesus says doesn't seem to skip a beat. I mean, there's a break in chapters, but there's not a break in the conversation, or if your Bible has it, in the red letters. That's when Jesus says right away, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." They just had these two things happen after this Last Supper, and all kinds of things have been going on all week. And then Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." He started creating within them a certain capacity. Now, I mean, I don't know. If that was me, if I had been all through that, and Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled," I'd have probably immediately started feeling like I was having trouble. I had been thinking, what are we going to do? He says, "Don't let your heart be troubled," and all this is going on. Should I call a Zoom meeting? Should I call the diocesan office? What? That's where I'd have been. But Jesus, you remember, he creates by speaking. So he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he starts creating with them the peace that they're going to need internally as well as around, so that they can receive what he's going to give them. And so the next part of the phrase is, or the saying is, "Believe in God, believe also in me." Now you might remember, but I'm going to remind you anyway right now, when we've talked about belief is action. It's more than agreement. It's more than intellectually saying, "Yes, I think I agree with that." And you can agree with something and put no trust in it. The one who believes, who puts trust in Jesus, just completely trusts Jesus, is the one who will do what Jesus has done, and then will do greater things than what Jesus has done. So I'm thinking that's you and me, the ones who believe in Jesus. And one of the things, two things that can happen in our lives is we can do what Jesus did, and that we can also do greater things. And doing what Jesus did means you know what that is and you know how to do it. So, for example, if you know someone who's sick, you know how Jesus prayed for the sick, and you can do the same thing. Or, when it's time to pray, you know how Jesus prayed, and you can do the same thing. That's one level. The other level here is he says you can do greater things. By the way, we can spend more time, not on Sundays, but all kinds of other time, where we're helping each other get equipped to do what Jesus did. That's part of what it is to be in the fellowship of the church. But he also says greater things. Our translation says greater works. Some translations say greater things. I like to make the differentiation between works and things, because things, in my mind, have to do with a wider circle of influence, a greater circle. So he's saying that it is possible to take the ministry he equips us to do into places he never went when he walked the earth. So like right now, if we were to take any of the love, mercy, or power of God to another place, even if it's to a next door neighbor or across the street or someplace right around here, we are taking that ministry to a place that Jesus never walked in his incarnation. He was never there when he walked the earth. And that is a greater influence, a greater circle of influence. And so it would be the greater things that we do. I'll give you an example. Peter on Pentecost. There he is. The Spirit has descended. All kinds of things are coming. They've attracted a big crowd. And then Peter starts preaching. And part of the result of that sermon and the power of the Holy Spirit was that some Jewish leaders who had been against Jesus on that day put their faith in Christ. A group that Jesus had not been able to influence with the gospel himself, now Peter had been able to influence. All in the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. It wasn't that Peter was greater than Jesus. Doing a work like Jesus did, doing it greater than he did, I think is impossible. But taking what he gives us to a place where he never walked when he was on the earth, that's what we're called to do. That's what he would have us do. I want you to notice, too, in that example, that it had been about 6 weeks or less, even prior to that day of Pentecost, that Peter was thinking with a couple of the twelve who stuck with him, and they started fishing again because they didn't know what else to do. And he's probably thinking, we gave this 3 years of our lives and we don't have anything to show for it. That day of Pentecost, what Peter had to show for it was the birth of the church, the fulfillment of ancient prophecy, and the bringing of some of the enemies of Jesus into the faith. That's what can happen. We'll have our ups and downs as we go along, as Peter did. But things like that, even if they're much smaller, are things that we can count on. There'll be greater influence. Now, there's some examples among us, too, at St. Francis, and I want to point them out. One is this. The influence of the gospel multiplies. When Bobby, Peter, Joey, Cindy, Lottie, Bell, and whatever musicians going along with them that day, it could be Stacy, it could be Diane, it could be anybody, when they walk into Blue Ridge, the assisted living facility, and lead worship twice a month, we have no record of Jesus when he walked the earth, walking into that place. And yet when they walk in, greater things are happening. The influence of the gospel multiplies when Richard and Hetty, Patty, George, Debbie, and others there, they gather their neighbors together. And then with that group, they reach out to other neighbors. We have no record that when Jesus walked the earth, he walked in that neighborhood. And yet when they do that, greater things are happening. The influence of the gospel is also multiplied when John, Libby, Karen, Chris, MJ, Bill, Patty, Jack, and others bring food that has been grown at St. Francis to the Goochland Food Pantry. And when some of them volunteer at that place. We just have no record, once again, that Jesus ever physically set foot in the garden at St. Francis or the food pantry in Goochland. And yet, when some of us are there, the greater things are happening. That's just a few of the examples. There's many other examples with all our teams and outreach, with the music team, the Christmas Mother, the Bright Beginnings, Mannequin Market, all kinds of things are part of that greater influence of the gospel. And that's what Jesus says will happen. The ones who believe in me will do greater things than these. And that's how those greater things happen. So it doesn't stop. It just keeps going on. Now, what you might be asking lies ahead. You know, we get back out of quarantine and so forth, what lies ahead? And I think even now, even this morning, Jesus is preparing and equipping us for greater things, for a wider circle of influence of the gospel and his mercy as we go along. And so my question for you to consider this morning is this: where do you want to see the love, mercy, healing, and power of the gospel flow in the community that's surrounding us? Does a place come to mind? Does a group of people come to mind? Greater things will happen amongst those people. And for that to come into your mind is the first step of that happening. It's the beginning of greater things. It's the next step of having more to show for coming to church all these years. And it will always start, I believe, with this phrase from Jesus in one way or another: let not your heart be troubled. He'll create peace within you. And it's Jesus, therefore, making you an instrument of peace. And as an instrument of peace, you will be doing the greater things that Jesus promises believers will do. We become the ones who do those greater things. So if you would this week be listening to Jesus about that, where do you want that influence now to be multiplied? What do you want me to know about that influence? You could ask him that. What do you want to show me about that? Is there a direction you wish to point me to for that greater influence? And I would expect and wait on the peace that he wants to give you to start coming. To say to you in one way or another, let not your heart be troubled. Because that'll be a very large part of what is carried into the places where the greater things are happening. So, as always, what I want to encourage you to do, if something like that comes to you, and I really think it will. When that happens, please be in touch with me. Because there's things to happen after that. There's steps to take after that. So those greater things will occur. And we can unpack it and plan it out and see what the Lord has together so that we're supporting each other and encouraging each other in all of those greater things. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the promises and the power that you give to us. We thank you for the peace that you speak into us creates. And we ask this morning that we would be the believers who do the greater things, who have that to show for what it's been like to follow you. And we ask that today for the glory of your name. Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself.